الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأتم الحج والأمرة لله سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. I think, as I've shared over the last several weeks, the dominant theme that we kind of find ourselves in is the notion of the Hajj and the fact that we are in the months of Hajj. And very, very soon, subhanAllah, we will be faced and presented with the opportunity of the days of Hajj, because the month of Dhul Hijjah is not that far away. Of course, we have the reality before us of not being able to attend Hajj this year from the locality where we find ourselves. But again, like I've mentioned before, that is certainly not a reason to ignore the fact that we are entering into these very special days. Number one, the Hajj is always a reminder for us of the opportunity of Hajj. It's not just about doing the Hajj. In fact, I would argue that the greater issue related to the Hajj for most of us would be just to recognize that this opportunity is continuously presented before us. Yes, there will be a time where each of us will have the actual physical opportunity to go for Hajj. But that is one time, usually in a person's life, maybe two. And maybe if you're lucky and you happen to be organizing groups of people who go, then it'll be more frequent than that. But for the vast majority of us, it'll be once or twice in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we should be negligent of the opportunity of Hajj, which for all of us is always consistent. So we do need to talk about Hajj. We do need to be cognizant of it. We do need to learn the lessons. We do need to reflect on the lessons associated with it. And as I've mentioned before, Hajj is something that we all benefit from, even at a distance. Its nature is such that the mercy and the blessings and the power of Hajj overflow from the locations of Hajj to encompass the all of creation throughout the entire universe, literally throughout the entire universe. So anyway, that's why I keep talking about Hajj. People look at me like, what is this guy doing? He's talking about Hajj. There's no Hajj, quote unquote. There's no Hajj for us. But anyway, the point is that the days of Hajj are still coming, and it's still an opportunity. And even if it means that we just have to sit and remember all the prior Hajj that have occurred, then even that would be sufficient, because so much benefit arises in this very, very special gathering. Today, the reminder that I want to share is just a general principle that we can derive or glean from Hajj, which is that, let's start with a principle, which is that generally speaking, when an opportunity or a bounty is present before us, we should recognize that there is a tremendous amount that goes on underneath the hood. When an opportunity or a bounty is present before us, there is a tremendous amount that goes on underneath the hood. Let me just start by giving a very simple example. When you look at a tree has so many benefits. So for example, a tree will provide shade. In some instances, a tree provides fruit. In some instances, in all instances, a tree will provide the conversion of carbon dioxide to oxygen through photosynthesis. A tree provides beauty. A person can look at it. They attain a certain serenity in their heart just by merely looking at that sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a lot of benefits that arise from a tree. But the reality is that tree, the benefits that arise from that tree, the vast majority of it is actually occurring underneath the hood. Because when you look at a tree, for example, if you look out the window, it's dark now, outside right now, but if you look at that big tree, the same structure of that tree that you can see from that window on the right-hand side, on my right-hand side, which would be your left, that same structure is actually present underneath the ground. There's a deep, complex root system that is all hidden underneath the ground that allows that tree to be able to suck water from the ground and drag nutrients up to its branches and to its leaves. And it's only through all that's hidden that we're able to take benefit from that which is visible. So listen to that very carefully. It's only through all that is hidden that we're able to take benefit from that which is visible. And this is not only the nature of a tree, this is the nature of the vast majority of opportunities that we benefit from. So for example, and of course most relevant now, is the nature of Hajj. When we benefit from Hajj and all of the, you know, major things that we've continuously talked about over the last several weeks, we should appreciate that what allows us to take that cream from the top is the fact that there is so much going on underneath. So much going on underneath. For example, the Hajj is a consequence of the effort of so many prophets that came before. In fact, you can even say that Islam is the consequence of that. So, for example, let's just take one example of Islam globally. Let's make the example of Islam as a tree. Okay? Islam is like a tree. So if you say that the Sharia of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the deen of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we, you know, term traditionally Islam, is the visible tree, then we should also appreciate that underneath that, the entire support structure of our deen is predicated on every prophet that came before. All of the efforts of all of the prophets that came before is the underlying hidden thing that no one sees that actually allows that tree to exist the way it does and provide all the benefits that it provides. Now, we don't see that. We don't see that because we're present today. So we see the consequence of the effort of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba. We're seeing exactly, you know, we're seeing all the fruits of that labor. And we see this tree and we use it for shade. We take food. We take, you know, we look at its beauty. We take benefit. But what we're not able to appreciate is all that's going on underneath the scene, which is that there are all of these prophets that made tremendous effort, all of their followers that made tremendous effort, all of which formed the layers, the additions of the various religions that came across time and place until eventually deen was completed upon the Prophet ﷺ. Now that completion of the deen occurred where? In Arafah, which occurred during the Hajj, when we have the revelation of Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, on this day I have completed for you your deen. This is an ayah of the Qur'an, or a portion of an ayah of the Qur'an. So what's happening at the Hajj of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Arafah, at the time of wukuf, is this ayah is being revealed, the full ayah is being revealed. I just quoted a portion. The ayah is being revealed, and the Sahaba and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the global community, the interaction of the Sahaba with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being called the completion of the deen, and the global community for the rest of time is all observing that this is the completion of deen. Now, what does it mean for something to be completed? It means that something existed before it, and that subsequently became completed. So you can say this, that the beginning of guidance came with the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, right? It started there, this beginning of this series of prophets. And eventually, you have prophet after prophet, prophet after prophet, prophet after prophet. They're bringing books, they're reviving the community, they're establishing various laws, they're giving guidance about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His nature and how we can worship Him, until eventually, the final edition of that is the edition called Islam, which was essentially essentially exemplified by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the companions. But that final edition, like a textbook, think about it this way, this edition came, then this edition, then this edition, then this edition, then a final edition arose. That final edition, that required the previous editions to come before it. And the Hajj exemplifies that in so many ways. For example, I'll give you a couple. For example, the centerpiece of the Hajj is the Kaaba. The centerpiece of the Hajj is the Kaaba, and that Kaaba was established initially by Adam alayhi salam, eventually reestablished and rebuilt by prophets Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son. Now, that structure was established. Everything was all set. The scene was laid. You can say that they laid out the scene, so that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba could come and complete that blessing, to then establish the Hajj in such a way that it would be permanent. So where is that coming from? It's not, the Kaaba was already established before. That's what was underneath the hood. That concept was there. Similarly, as another example, when the Prophet ﷺ was making his journey from Medina to Mecca for the Hajj, then one of the events that occurred in two or three different places as they were traveling was that the Prophet ﷺ would perceive some history that occurred at the locations that they had traveled through. So for example, they came to a particular valley while they were traveling, and when they came to that valley, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that it is as if I can see Musa alayhi salam with his fingers in his ears reciting the talbiyah. In another place, 70 prophets passed through this valley on their way to perform Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ is sharing this with the companions. In another place, it is as if I see Yunus alayhi salam again reciting the talbiyah. And there's some more detail, I don't want to go into them because I don't want to drag this on. But the point remains that even when the Prophet ﷺ is making the Hajj, which is the visible tree, the Prophet ﷺ is reminding the companions that this, our journey, is actually predicated upon the journey of hundreds of other people, and hundreds of prophets. Okay, make it 70, just as because that's the number quoted in the hadith. 70, at least, prophets, and that is the foundation of this journey. If the Prophet ﷺ is reminding them of what had occurred, then essentially what he's doing is he's grabbing the past and bringing it back into the present for all of us to be able to reflect on until the end of time. So what's going on externally appears to be the tree, but there's so much underneath the hood. So example one, the ayah being revealed in Arafah. The example two would be the example that I just gave of their traveling, and then the Prophet ﷺ explaining that he could, it is as if he perceives those 70 prophets or the Prophet Musa ﷺ, etc., walking through that valley. So this is a very important principle that we should appreciate, because we can take this principle and we can drag it through so many examples in our lives. When we take advantage of something, or when we benefit from something, or when we happen to taste the fruits of something, it's very important to appreciate that that is predicated upon the efforts of so many others. You know, we lose sight of that because we become so hyper-focused on ourselves. You know, I'll just give you a very simple example. All of you drive to work. Or you may drive to the market. But we don't appreciate that there were so many people who had to have made the effort necessary to be able to create the road that provides that opportunity for us. And there's a whole other slew of people that had to work in order to be able to provide the vehicles that are made available to us. It's such a complex, under-the-hood operation. But we lose sight of it, and we become so much more fixated on ourselves, and so we lose the bigger picture of recognizing that we exist in a greater community, and that greater community is that we are dependent upon that. That we're not independent people, that we actually are a community of people. Muslim and non-Muslim, just put that aside for a minute. We are a community of human beings. And that every human being, if they happen to take a benefit from a circumstance, that benefit is not because of them or because of their abilities or because of something they did, but rather it's a benefit that they took because there was work there's things going on underneath the hood. That there are things going on that none of us can ever see. And that it's only when all of society is able to function together as a unit that we're able to benefit. Now, Hajj gives us a small glimpse of that. In fact, I can give you another example that just happens to pop in my mind very quickly, which is that the Prophet ﷺ himself said that I am the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. Right? And a da'wah to Abi Ibrahim. That I am the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. So again, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching the companions that yes, you are benefiting from this circumstance, but recognize that this circumstance is not independent of the rest of humanity. It's not independent of the rest of history. That even the Prophet is actually the result of the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim, which of course is captured in the Quran. And by the way, so much of the Quran is dedicated to story after story, story after story, story after story that creates and highlights the underpinnings of the Islam that we practice today. The story of every prophet that came before and how much of the Quran is devoted to that is essentially just a reminder to all of us that we are not just, you know, unmarked fruit. They call it unmarked fruit, like the fruit that falls that nobody knows what the lineage is. That we're not unmarked fruit, that there is actually a connection that we have to the people before us. We are dependent upon them. We are dependent upon their piety. We are dependent upon their sacrifices. In the case of deen, of course, the word piety is going to be relevant, but in the case of the world that we live in and the society in which we function in, maybe it's not contingent upon that, but we're still all part of a greater whole. We're all part of a greater whole. And this is a key message of the Hajj. When a person goes to the Hajj, they begin to see that. Now, they see that superficially because they begin to see that people come from this place, people come from that place, people have this background, people are of this color, people are of that color, people are of this socioeconomic background, they're of that socioeconomic background, and the whole thing gets erased in the sea of Hujjaj. So that's something that we initially appreciate. It's the first, but it's only the scratch of the surface. Because then when you look beyond that, you begin to recognize that, wait a minute, this whole procession of Hajj, as I think I gave a talk on this before, this whole procession of Hajj is actually just a procession of prophets. That so many prophets before us actually were performing this Hajj, and that eventually culminated in this opportunity for us to be able to stand on the shoulder of giants. You know, we appreciate this in science in particular. You know, I think Newton, as I've, you know, I may have quoted this before as well, maybe Newton, don't quote me on this, he said concerning his discoveries, and it's a very interesting statement that captures a little bit of the reality of what I'm trying to share, but he said that if I have seen further than others, meaning if I have made some new scientific discovery, if I have elucidated some new principle, if I have seen further than others, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. Meaning my ability to be able to see something, to develop something, to understand something, to open up a new layer of understanding is not because of me. It is because I'm standing upon the shoulder of giants, i.e. I am standing upon all of the efforts of the people that came before me. There is no, I know that we as human beings like to award one person a prize, but the reality is that prize is contingent upon so much that comes before. When you give the Nobel Prize to someone, I'll give you a science example because that's my background. If you give the Nobel Prize to someone, people celebrate that individual. But the reality is that individual is actually standing upon the shoulders of all of the people that came before them because they would never be able to have developed their understanding except that they were basing it upon so much of the work that came before. So we as human beings, we are contingent upon that. Whether that be religious, whether that be dunyawi, we are contingent upon that. And that is one of the messages of Hajj. It brings all of humanity together. It shows us our interdependence upon one another. You think that I could go for Hajj, me alone, and the whole world disappears and they're not there, and it's going to be the same? No. Part of what makes Hajj so special is that everybody brings a piece of hope. Honestly, everybody bringing their sins is what attracts Allah's mercy. Literally, we need everyone to come and bring all of their sins, whatever they might be, so that the whole plane can be flushed with Allah's mercy. We're dependent on each person that's there. We're dependent upon the talab. It's the gathering of a whole bunch of people who are all seeking to rectify themselves and to earn the forgiveness of Allah. That whole gathering only occurs when the gathering occurs. Just like this gathering, if nobody shows up, I'm not talking to the wall. How long can I talk to the wall for? And similarly, if I don't show up, you're not going to stare at the wall. How long will you stare at the wall for? No, we're all interdependent upon one another. Every person makes a contribution to every gathering. Some of it's visible, like I said, like with the tree, but so much of it is invisible. So much of it is invisible. So anyway, again, you know, the simple summary of today is that when we think about Hajj, we should appreciate that Hajj is a annual opportunity that is contingent upon millennia of sacrifice. Let's summarize it that way. Hajj is a annual opportunity that's contingent upon millennia of sacrifice. many, 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 many people before had to do many, many, many things to allow us to be able to taste the fruits of Hajj. And we should never lose sight of that. Our deen does not even give us that opportunity because it continuously drags us back into the story of this prophet and that prophet, this circumstance and that circumstance, to remind us of where we came from. And we are dependent upon that. And when we leave from such gatherings, it creates an understanding in us that allows us to appreciate that this principle is not only applicable to Hajj, but more globally, it's applicable to every single thing that I do. If I have achieved A or B, or I'm able to take advantage of opportunity C or D, all of that is contingent upon the sacrifices of so many others beyond me. And, you know, we live in a time and a place where we're hyper-fixated on ourselves, but it behooves us to be able to appreciate that we all depend upon the society that we live in and upon the people that came before us, and that we are not able to achieve what we achieve except that those people did what they did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the realities of Hajj to us, and may He make us amongst those who are able to appreciate all of the sacrifice of the people that came before, and may He keep us tied into the greater chain of all of the people of piety upon whom we depend. وَآخِرَ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ